Welcome to This Is That, where the Word of God comes to life. Here, we take on everyday questions faced by believers and converts, and we dig through the Word of God where similar situations have occurred, and we break it down on how these Bible principles and doctrines can be applied in our daily life situations. And it is our intention and prayer that this fellowship will encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with God. And as our commitment to advance God's kingdom to every culture and nation, we appreciate it very much if you would hit that like button and to share and to subscribe to our channel. This is That, moving in the apostolic on your favorite podcast and on YouTube, Call to Ministry. This is That segment. And every time you click on the like button, the more we get advertised out there. The more we get advertised, the more we are able to reach people. And so before we start, just a couple of shout-outs to our friends at the Uplift Podcast with Brother Nathan Beeler, the Steadfast Devotion Podcast with Brother Trey and Brother Calvin, and to the Search for Truth Podcast with Pastor Young. And so, without much ado, let's get to the table with your host, and let's get digging. Praise God. Welcome to another night of This Is That. And we thank you for your patience. We thank you for allowing us to share our experiences and share what is being poured into us and allowing us to be pouring them unto you. And first and foremost, we want to thank God for allowing us to be together and for allowing us to even have this podcast and allowing us to talk to you guys. And second, we want to thank our families for their support. Thank you for the church. And to all of you who are our listeners, thank you so much. For we cannot do this without your support, because with your support, with your encouragement, we are more encouraged to dig into the Bible and to go out there and bring something so we can have something to pour out into you guys. And so tonight is going to be a special night. I say special because tonight you're going to be learning more of our testimony, my brother's testimony, and you know, Brother Mike, he's always the good kid. Me and Brother Nate, we kind of grew up the same, but we're going to dig deeper on our personal testimony. That way, you will be, if you find yourself in wherever we're talking, that way you will be encouraged by where God has brought us, because it is not us, but it's because God, through Him, we are able to do what we're doing. And if our testimonies are able to encourage you, then we have fulfilled one of the callings that God has called us to be, and that is to be salt and light to the people. And to start with, I'm going to start with my brother over here. He grew up in church. Basically, all his life, he's been in church. And that is a great thing, because not many people can say that, well, I grew up in church and I'm still here. A lot of people in the world would say, yeah, my parents grew up in church and where are you now? Well, I'm here, I'm backslid. Not many can say, yeah, I stuck. I mean, I'm not stuck, but I stayed with the church and I didn't wander off. But that is a great testimony for everyone out there. You don't have to go out there to be successful. You don't have to wander off the church, wander off the body to be able to be successful in life. You can be successful while you are with the church and the body of believers.
Amen.
And that's his little bit of testimony. He's going to say more about it. And my brother here, he got introduced to church through the bus ministry.
Yes.
And look at where he is now. He was the one being picked up, and now he's the one lifting up people. And so it doesn't matter where you came from. As long as you stay with the Word, God is faithful. Well, look at me. I'm not supposed to be here, but by the grace of God, God has allowed us together to come to you and to say that God is great.
God is great.
And so, my brother, I want to start with you. I want to start with this question. How did you get introduced to God? Well, you say, well, my parents introduced me to God. But yeah, that is so true. We got introduced in young, like everybody, like even the unbelievers got introduced to God by somebody. But that is not what I'm going to ask. How did God find you?
Well, being born and raised into it, I remember I slept a lot underneath the pews. So, and I've tried different bubblegum flavors underneath the pews. But growing up, it was this, I mean, our church is unique. I never really knew that until I got older. But when Sister Miski started Kids Club, she, when from my old faintest memories, at 9 years old, we went to Arkansas for a youth camp. And Brother McCool was the, he preached every night, and he was awesome with kids. He's just an awesome kids teacher, preacher. And so, but every night I sat on the front row with a stranger. I don't know the kid's name, but me and him, like, we never saw each other at camp all day long. But at night, I sat on the front, and I sat right there on the edge, had my room on the side. But he sat there with me, and we were like best friends at, for those couple hours, you know? Well, every night, I wanted the Holy Ghost. Everybody wanted the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And so I stayed there praying every night. And I didn't stay there, you know, for hours on end. You know, I just went with, I went up front with everybody else. But the very last night, there was something there that made you want to tarry. And maybe all the kids knew that it was the last service, but everybody stayed. I mean, just everybody wanted the Holy Ghost. Everybody, you know, and all, it seemed like all the girls are weeping and getting the Holy Ghost, right? All, it's so easy. And all the boys, eventually half of them, you know, start playing around. They finally leave. And but I remember a sister from our church. I love telling this story because it's amazing how God works with you. But this sister, I did not like. She was very strict, and I probably needed it, but I didn't. I just did not like her. And I remember while I'm repenting, I'm praising God, I'm doing everything that they tell you to do, you know, to receive the Holy Ghost. And there's one voice I hear, and it's her voice. And I didn't think in my little 9-year-old voice, I don't like this lady. But I just was seeking the Holy Ghost and hearing love right beside me, wanting me. She was weeping. She's weeping that she, you know, I'm trying, I'm crying, it's not everywhere, and just, you know, trying to get the Holy Ghost. And so I finally got the Holy Ghost. And she shout, I mean, she, that's right. I remember just love pouring from her and how she praised God when I got it. And of course, you know, I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. I'm gonna go play, you know? But I did know that the next service at church, I'm getting baptized.
Wow.
And so I thought, you know, it'd just be me, right? I'm so awesome. I'm gonna be the only one. But there was 9 or 11 kids that got the Holy Ghost.
From the camp.
From the camp and got baptized. And so with that, that did start a journey. Where in Kids Club on Wednesday nights, we were in the ladies prayer room. That was the chapel where we'd have like Holy Ghost service, right? Young boys and young girls would pray at the altar longer than before. There's so many of us got the Holy Ghost, and I think several got the Holy Ghost in those after that. And so we would be, and there was be a little bit of pride as boys when we would be the ones that prayed longer than the girls did. And we would feel like, yes, you know, we're all got tears and all that, but we felt like, well, it wasn't until I was 13 years old, we had a youth camp at our church. And this time, I don't recall, but there was a hunger in us to not just be Pentecostal kids, but to actually be men in a way. And we were calling ourselves, you know, soldiers for God and all that good stuff. But there was something in us that we decided as young people that we were, especially as young boys, we were going to go sit on the front row. We could sit anywhere we wanted to, right? But we were going to be the ones on the front row. But there was one kid in particular, Nicky Jones. Me and him were friends. We played basketball together. We were in the same kids club classrooms and all this, but we weren't close. He had a couple other kids in church, but they didn't decide to follow. Mm. They didn't decide to be part of this group and pursue after God. And for some reason, he picked me out. And I was his focus of, hey, man, we're going to get the Holy Ghost. We're going to. And so I was like, let's do it. Let's go. And so we decided we're going to get in a group and pray before church. And then we're gonna run the aisles and we're gonna jump, and we felt silly. I mean, we're even though we lived this and we saw our parents doing it and all these people, it was still different for 13-year-old boys, you know. And so we did. We ran the aisles. We didn't know how to dance because no one danced in our church. Okay, I'm old enough to remember before that. But we decided, all right, let's just jump. Mm. So we just started just jumping up and down, praising God. And it was awesome, and it was amazing camp. But afterwards, me and the youth pastor of our church, Michael Canfield, we decided we're going to stay on the front row. We're not going to go back to our back seats. What we got at camp and what we felt, what we committed to, we were going to keep. And so at 13 years old is when I tell people, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9. Mm. But I got fire when I was 13.
Wow.
When it became that I'm living for God because I want to live for God.
Yes.
So instead of waiting for my parents, and I didn't have to do this, but if my parents didn't want to go one service, I was like, well, you got to take me to church.
Yes.
I can't drive yet. Wow. And so you got to take me. And there were seasons where that my mom, she won't mind me saying this, but that... there would be times where she would have a headache, and she used to have bad migraine headaches until God healed her last year, and she hasn't had one since.
Praise God.
But she would have these headaches, and I just don't want to go tonight. But she said because I was ready, dressed, had my suit ironed, my tie on, she's like, oh, I got to take him. I'm glad that my mom used to drag me to church, and I didn't drag my mom to church, but. There was this time where I, as her son, was able to, you know, help her through that season.
Right.
And, for me, it's all I know.
That's
awesome. is this truth, this faith.
That's awesome.
And, but at 13 years old, I not only had the Holy Ghost, but I got Holy Ghost and fire.
Bro, that's awesome.
And that's what's kept me.
Amen. Amen. Mm. Yeah, that's great. Because, yes, we first get this initial baptism of the Holy Ghost, but then there's this thing, like you said, fire, that this longingness, this wanting to want God more, because the Bible says, John tells that when Jesus will come, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost
and fire.
Yes.
Amen. All right, so going to my brother.
All right, well, on mine, it's a little bit. God was patient with me.
Oh, praise God!
As you know, as you said, I was a bus kid, and I think I was probably in the third grade. No, I was in the sixth grade, and I've been going to church since I was like in kindergarten. Mm. You know, I've been going to the church bus ministry, and May Street and Truesdale. And I remember I went to church because there was peace and there was snacks, you know, and most of the time it was basically for the snacks, and I would usually try to disfuse the peace. I was a kind of a troublemaker, you know, but through the whole time, I remember so many times the teachers just kept talking about, you know, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I remember it's so much in my mind. I remember I was in middle school and I was known for fighting. I was known for fighting, get kicked out of school for more than fighting, but I was just a fighter. And it was a time when I got kicked out of school, and in my mind, my mama was gonna say, this is enough, you know? So, and what happened was, I went to school, went halfway through the school, I got kicked out. And I got kicked out, let's say, a Monday. Mm. And I got kicked out for 3 days, so I go back on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And I walk into the school, and the person that I fought, his other family members was like, okay, you fight my cousin, so now you're gonna have to fight me. So I fought him. I didn't even get to go to my first class. I got kicked out of school again. They called my mom. I'm going home. I'm scared. I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? I just got done being suspended. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, man, what am I going to do? So I'm thinking, you know, something in my mind said, you need to pray. Hmm. So from that moment, I said, okay, I need to find the Bible. So I went, went and found the Bible, and I read a little bit of scripture. I don't know exactly what scripture it was. I read the Bible, and I remember praying to God. I remember, and I said, in Jesus' name. And there was something that came over me that was telling me it's going to be all right. Wow. And my mama came home, and like, she was mad. But she said she's mad. She said she's more disappointed in me than anything. Mm. And I remember I did my suspension. My mom said, get out the house, go in the backyard, clean the backyard. I don't want to see you, whatever. But that was the last time I got kicked out of school. Mm. And when I think about that moment right there in my life, that moment shows how God listened to a little kid's prayer. Mm. And how many times situations that I got put in, but I didn't fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't mind fighting, but it was just like, I get in a situation usually when we just throw hands, but it was more like, do you really want to do this? I was more like trying to talk about it. I was more giving on peace. And I felt like there was a change. Even as a young kid in my mind, I started thinking like, what am I doing? Why didn't I just beat these kids up like I usually do? You know what I mean? But then so from that moment allowed me to, I start feeling God in my heart. Like, I just wasn't as violent as I was. I still was a bad kid, but I wasn't that kid that kept getting kicked out of school and disappointed my mom.
Yeah.
And I was in the bus ministry, and I was in the bus ministry all the way probably up to the ninth grade. And then my mom gave me a situation, if you don't want to go to church, you don't have to. I said, okay, well, I'm not going to go to church. And so I just faded out for the whole high school year. And probably in my early 20s, I went to church. Mm. And we got a good church, and it's something I went in and out so many years. And probably when I was about 20, I was about 20, 28, 29, and I was in the biggest point of my life. I was on a point to where I was just getting ready to be homeless. I was just getting ready to lose everything. Mm. And I was just walking the dog in a situation that I'll probably explain later. And I was just talking to God.
Right.
And in this moment, God told me of what I needed to do to get through this point, because I was about to lose my best friend. Mm-hmm. I was about to lose the house. I was about to lose everything. I didn't have a job. I just lost my job. And God was getting ready to show me what I needed to do. And what God showed me was that I needed to praise.
Amen.
And so I went back to church and I start praising God. And because I start praising God, I start seeing the things that was on me, mm-hmm, was getting lifted off.
Amen.
And plus I could see, because my best friend, who I called my best friend, was getting ready just to leave me, because they probably just couldn't deal with me no more, you know? But, and so God was preparing me for it. And so, mm-hmm, when they left and I start praising God, they were still around when I started praising God. Mm-hmm. And I could see on their faces, like, the devil was working inside of them, and the devil was getting mad through them looking at me praising God. Mm. But as long as I kept my praise, right, it was like at that moment I didn't know what I was doing. When I first stepped out and started praising, because I was just a regular, you know, stand up, clapping God, two-step, you know what I mean? But when I stepped out of my comfort zone and literally start praising God, that praise gave me, like, it's like an extra tool in my belt. Amen. You know, it's like an extra power, a power gift, you know? It's like an extra strength that God has given me to rely on when things go through. And I didn't start praising God when things were just, when all the blessings of God and when the miracles and healings are pouring down. I start praising God when I was homeless.
Amen.
I didn't have nothing. You know what I mean? So when I start praising God, it's almost like in myself, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm following Jesus.
Yeah.
But I felt something inside of me. And then from that moment on, it was like my faith grew. The fire in me grew.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything started to grow. And the next thing you know, I start seeing miracles. I start seeing breakthroughs. And then, so when I started off as a kid, every time I think in my mind to even try to doubt God, as a little kid, don't you remember as a kid praying and God stopped that? And then it's just like the testimony that I just said, don't you remember when you was about to be homeless and God spoke that word into you? Because sometimes for a person like me that has been on drugs, alcohol, I mean, homeless, all these situations, and to think the almighty, righteous, holy God would look upon me and have mercy, would care for me.
I mean,
if you look at the rich and famous, if they seen a person for who I was, they would say, get this peasant away from me. But with God, he would take you and wrap you up.
Amen.
And he'll put the new linen on you. He'll comfort you.
Yeah.
And by that, that's what gives me the strength, and that's what gives me the fire, because I'm thinking, if God is willing to accept me for who I was, for what I was,
amen,
I'm like, why not walk with him?
Amen.
That's why not declare his glory?
Yeah.
Because I was just a bad person. You know what I mean? I was just a bad person. But because God was willing to have mercy and to show that he cared. And it's so powerful to me to realize that it was just about a praise.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because if it wasn't for me praising God, being obedient to God's word, then it seems so crazy. It's just like when they said, go dip yourself in the lake 7 times and you're going to be healed of your leprosy. It's like, why has it got to be that lake? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like God telling me, well, just go start praising God. And just, I'm like, God, this a praise?
Yeah.
You know, why don't you come with your secret scepter and follow and bless me with all the riches? Nah, he just said, it's going to start with the praise.
Amen.
You know, and through that praise and through that word that God has spoken to me, it strengthens my walk.
Yeah.
And it reminds me like, okay, no matter what, God has spoken to me.
Yeah.
Amen. God is speaking a word. And because of that last spoken word, I mean, he has spoken to me more, but because of that spoken word, it has brought me here where I am right now.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So what my brother is really trying to convey here is that, yes, everybody is being drawn to God. The Bible says God is long-suffering, not wanting that everyone would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. Yes, God is calling the rich and the poor. He's calling everybody. But unless we respond to that call, just as what my brother said, he heard a voice and he responded to that call. God has been being faithful and he's been talking to him more and more. And to ask another question, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you were little or when you got?
I was an adult.
Okay.
Yeah, I was an adult. It was what's his name? He's fire. He's got like a little missing hair right there, kind of about our age. He's from Louisiana.
Jeff Story.
Is it Jeff? I think it might be Jeff Story.
Brother David Smith.
David Smith. Brother David Smith. He prayed over me, and I received the Holy Ghost.
Wow, that's cool. Wow.
And and I'm not gonna lie. When I received the Holy Ghost, to me, you know, that was a moment. But that moment right there, when I received the Holy Ghost, that was just literally the most peace.
Yes.
Like the peace of God, like it was a peace that's like, that you want to keep pursuing.
Amen. Amen.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can attest to that. My brother grew up here in church in a Pentecost. I didn't grow up in a Pentecost. I grew up in paganism, and I grew up in Catholic church and whatever church you can find. I just went there, and that's how they say, well, you want to know about God? Yeah, sure. But I didn't really have that experience, that I really didn't get that introduction to God, that the Holy Spirit. I know that There are times when I go to visit friend in a service, I could feel like goosebumps, but nobody spoke about it until we came here in the United States around 2008. And that is where God really moved in my life. And that's when I received the Holy Ghost. I still remember Brother Hedges. He was the one there. And I think I was there for more than 10 minutes or more than I can, for me, it was eternity, probably around 20 minutes. He was there. I can hear his voice. He did not leave.
Yes.
He did not leave until I received the Holy Ghost. And when God allowed me to, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I could not stop. I spoke in tongues in there, and when I went home, I spoke in tongues. And that was the night also that a brother said, "Hey, you want to be baptized?" And I said, "Yeah, what is that? Yes, I will." And because I didn't know about that. Yes, I didn't know about getting baptized. I didn't know about the Holy Ghost. But I was so broken. I was so willing at that time. And I said, when they put me in the water, when Pastor Forrest said, "Baptize me in the water in Jesus' name," I came out, and after putting my clothes, I continued on speaking in tongues and going home. And that was how I got introduced to God. But from that point on, that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I didn't get the fire until 2017.
Mm-hmm.
From October 2008 to 2017. It's like that span. And I was asking God one time, like, "Lord, why did it happen? Why did I, from the time of my baptism, I thought that you're supposed to be like, "Whoa, let's go, I'm on fire." But it didn't happen to me. Unlike the other ones, you can see them, and I admire those that they get baptized and like, "Well, let's go right away." And they kept that. But for me, it was not like that. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then it seems like for how many years I stayed in there. And I asked God. And God, I mean, this is how God spoke to me. It's like, "Well, you know that you had a lot of things in you that you needed to be changed." And that's true. I was in the world so long that I needed to be cleansed. But when God baptized me with that fire, man, it's just like it's a different world. That's part of my testimony. But enough with me. Let's proceed to. I want to ask, when you received the Holy Ghost, what changed in your life, and what made you decide to, like, "This is what I'm gonna do. This is how I'm gonna live for God. I'm not gonna pursue, I'm not gonna go back to the world, but I'm gonna continue with this." Describe to us your initial experience and what changed in your life.
Absolutely nothing. This is a terrible answer. But at 9 years old, this, because I envy people as an adult that, you know, lived in the world, they've done all the whatever they were to do, and then they realize they sinned, and they come to church, and they repent, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, they're baptized in Jesus' name, and then the next time you see them, they are a new creature. And I've always, in a way, like, I envy that, because that they were able to testify about what they came out of. You know, right. I've never done drugs. And I praise God for it, you know. And someone asked me, you know, "You don't know what you're missing." And I'm like, "You're right. I don't know. Therefore, I don't care, because it's, you know."
Yeah.
And but I, at 9 years old, I mean, maybe my mom could say, you know, maybe there was a small change. But and, you know, all are sinners. But at 9 years old, I could honestly say I didn't get delivered from anything, some kind of bondage. That, you know, and I did, right? Had to, right? But that at 9 years old, I don't have that experience, you know. I mean, luckily, I grew up in a God-fearing family, you know. Right. My dad was not an alcoholic. My mom wasn't, you know, this or that. And so I didn't have to go through a lot of things a lot of people have gone through.
Right.
But I do know that at 13, it was the thing that really got me, I was delivered from, was living for God because of my parents. Mm. That this was a me choice. This was a, I'm not going to church just because of my friends.
Right.
I would say the number one key that when at 13 and you know, I had the Holy Ghost already, I was baptized in his name, but now I'm living for God. But for me, the number one thing that helped was my best friend. Mm. Was a youth pastor, Michael Canfield. You know, we are both 13 years old, and luckily his dad is a walking Bible. Like his dad could just quote scriptures and verses, and he just knew so much. But and Michael had that same. I was always amazed how much scripture he knew, and how much I would ask him a question, and he would, you know, and it was crazy stuff. But I was blessed to have a best friend who also, at the same time, decided we're living for God because we want to. We're praisers and worshipers.
Yeah.
But it was at 19 was one of my first prayer meetings. And the week of prayer and fasting that I found myself praying like I never did. And I would say at 19 is when I started living for God in a way that is never looked back, because I developed a prayer life.
Amen.
And awesome. I was so glad that I could, I was old enough to pray late at night. Mm. And we luckily lived only a couple of minutes from the church. And so that was my prayer room. And it still is. It's my prayer closet is the church. Like, there's a place in my house I go pray every time I get off work.
Yeah.
But the place that I pray and I spend that time with God is that church. But at 19, I had some of the greatest moments of staying there and just tearing and just waiting on God. And so that was my big change, was when I was 19. So living for God from, you know, before I was born, you know, my mom and dad running the aisles. Well, I was in my mom, and so I'm running the aisles with them, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I was 19 that I found myself at the place where I would say is where my bondage, where I came out of Egypt, was at 19.
Wow. Praise God. My brother, how was your initial experience?
Well, my experience was a lot different than this guy's. Because
they're right? Taller.
Yeah. The air is different up there. But like when I received the Holy Ghost, it was a lot of anger.
Mm. Before
I received the Holy Ghost, it was a lot of anger, double-mindedness, words.
Yeah.
Words I used to speak. I used to speak a lot of hate words, a lot of
words
that just, I really would try to want you to get mad, and I want you to, you know what I mean? I would just do whatever I could. Yeah. And when I received the Holy Ghost, I knew that it changed, because it's almost like God, like, either put me in a spot to see I change, or he put me in a spot that was going to change me. And I was working, and there was a lady at my job, the first time I met this lady, it was before I was changed, before I got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And she came in and they said, Nate, this lady thinks that she's gonna come in here and tell you how to do your job, but she came from another plant, and she, you know, and everybody knew me for being that guy. Like, all that guy, I'm gonna tell you how I feel, and I'm gonna express it in a very rude and obnoxious way. And they was like, watch what Nate's gonna do. And I did, and I cussed her out and everything else, and she left, and she probably felt some type of way. She came back a couple of years later, and she ended up being like, we got bought out from another plant, and now she was like the head of that plant. And so she came in, and she did almost exactly what she did, thinking probably, you know, if he cussed me out now, he's going to get fired, you know. And she cussed me out, and I looked at her straight in her face and says, I want you to know. And everybody was just like, because they know that I'm about to give her that speech. I was about to drop some verbal abuse on her. And I said, I love you. Now, in my mind, it was just like,
what did I say?
Okay. And she even said, what you say? And I said, I love you. And she was like, ah. She was frustrated. And I went back out. And then the lady, there was a secretary, because I just went into the office. The lady wanted to talk to me, and I said that. And then the ladies in the office came and said, Nate, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. It was like, man, we thought you was going to give her the 2-2 for it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you know, I'm changing, you know? And that moment right there kind of allowed me to see how powerful the Holy Ghost was. Mm. You know, and I started, and God started working with me on my anger, because I used to, like, because, you know, I'm kind of a weird guy. I used to want to break stuff, and try to get to you and rip stuff apart, kind of a guy when I used to be there and when I had rage and everything else. But I think it was one time God almost allowed me to step out of who I was, mm-hmm. and showed me that what you think looks tough.
Right.
What you think that looks so bad really looks like a kid with a temper tantrum. Mm. Hmm. And that kind of just, it transferred me into where, and then you start studying the Bible and the Holy Ghost start working on me. And next minute you know, it allowed me to realize that if I was going to stay with the fire, mm-hmm. the way that I stay as a strong man of God, what I was trying to be, it was hard still.
Right.
That I would have to do things according to the gospel. I have to do things according to God's word. And so I started to kind of watch what I did. And I started to not to rage out. I started to control myself and just started to love people.
Amen.
And because I started to love instead of hate, it kind of just made it to where the transfer started coming. Because the more I got into situations where I usually would rage out and more and more like that, it would give me strength to feel like, wait a minute, I do feel stronger holding the peace. Mm. I do feel stronger, like, you know, kind of loving the one that I want to be enemies with. Mm. But, and it kind of, and that Holy Ghost, that's how it just started to change me. Because now it's not like, because usually I'd be like, okay, that one passed. You know what I mean? That's how I felt when I first started to, like, have that peace with people. It was like, okay, I thought I was going to say something, you know? I thought I was going to flip out, you know what I mean? But now it's just a regular thing. Me wanting to keep the peace, you know what I mean? Me wanting to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not, it's just something now that it's just my natural walk now. Like, I'm not in it to, start a fight. I'm not in it to cause chaos, you know?
Yeah.
And my words now is more of a try to keep it more peaceful and more loving. Yeah. And that's because of that. It started with that first confrontation.
Amen.
That God's just the Holy Ghost, you know, when it first started, and it just started to build up to now. It's just now, just walking and doing is just
a new creature.
Well, just to clarify things, because there's a lot of people out there who would say that, oh, when you get the Holy Ghost, you will change, you will become. Yeah, the Bible says you will become a new creature, but did it happen overnight to you guys? I know.
My just listen to Brother Nate. It actually just dawned on me that I got the Holy Ghost as a child, and then I got a renewing through my teenager years. And when I became an adult, that I had to get another renewing that would take me farther on. And that, what would my life been without the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Like, what attitudes would I have developed, and what bondage would I have put on me?
Yeah.
That because one thing I was strong at, I'm not going to a party to hang out with high school friends because there's alcohol there.
Yeah.
And was I tempted? No, I wasn't tempted. Like, I wondered, why does, you know, I've heard people, like Christians today, that have been delivered, but they have a very stressful day, and they're like, if I was in the world, I would have a cigarette right now. And I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
And then same with alcohol is, I want a beer so bad, just so frustrated at work. And I've always gone, man, that's how they feel every time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have, I do have a de-stressor. It's the prayer room. Amen. That's the one time where I can literally go with a million pounds of problems. Yes. And when I speak in tongues,
yes,
and whatever I'm saying, whatever God is saying through me, and when I leave that place, I do feel that it's in His hands, you know?
Yeah.
And I heard a preacher, and he said that the devil's never going to tempt you with something you've never been tempted with.
Amen.
You're not going to be go back to something you've never gone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so I realized with the love of God for me, He allowed me to have that testimony to be young, a child, to get the Holy Ghost, and then renewed in my teenager years as 13.
Yeah.
And when I would come a man, still working on that part, but
yeah.
That he would also renew me, like Bishop says, every major change in your life.
Amen.
You know, you get a new house, you get a new job, you get married,
yes,
that you need to be renewed.
Amen.
And I've realized now, just the way you're talking, I just realized I didn't have to go through that.
Yeah.
And that being said, God did have to deliver.
I know for me, it's a process, and it's still a process.
Amen.
Because now, as most of the physical things has left, like I don't physically sin, but now most of the sins is in my mind.
Yes,
most of the sins I have is with myself.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because it's a battle to actually to be that servant that God wants me to be.
Yes.
And I try, and it's a battle because, you know, with my man, I don't want to be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I want to make sure that I'm in the will of God,
and I'm
doing my servitude, because God said that's what ministry is, a servant.
Yes.
You know, and not just that, just dealing with the world that we live in, you look to the left, there's a half-naked girl, and you look right here, there's cigarettes, there's a liquor store, and there's all these things that, you know, that... I mean, I'm not tempted, but it's just right there.
Mm.
It's like the internet.
Yeah.
You know, the internet could be used for so good, but so bad.
Yeah.
You know, and so much of it is just trying to make sure that I stay, you know, with my mind on Jesus.
Amen.
And like my brother said, because that's right now, that's where, if you are walking with God, that's exactly where you would find. You don't have cigarettes, you don't have that. You find a prayer room.
Amen.
Because I know for myself, that's where I find, like, when all this thing come on me at the world, man, I find, especially on Fridays, right after work, 3:30, sorry, I'm going to the church. I went to church on Wednesday. I probably went to church on Monday. Probably went to church on Tuesday. But it's something about that Friday, like, okay, it's Friday. I'm going straight to church. Don't pass go. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give everything that happened this week to God. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to forgive.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. And if I can't make it, I'm going to find time to, I got a prayer place in my house. I'm going to find time to make sure, because I don't want to carry the havoc and the chaos from last week on to the next week.
Amen.
And I don't try to carry it through the next day, it's a ever ending journey.
Amen.
You know, Amen. Nobody can ever say that they are just, you know, fulfilled.
If
you was, you'd be moving the mountains.
Yes,
said.
Yes, yeah. And for me, it was just as you said, it was a process. It was not an overnight change. Yeah, I spoke in tongues. I got baptized, and when I woke up in the morning, it's like I didn't grow up big muscles. I was still the same.
Yeah.
But over time, I find myself getting away from my addictions little by little. It was not like, well, I'm gonna live for God right now. For me, it was not that experience.
Yeah.
For me, it was like cutting a piece of meat. It's like a sculpture. First, I need to figure out the head. I'm gonna cut this way. That was how I feel in my walk with God, in my initial experience with God. The change didn't happen over time, but when God was, hey, you're almost ready, and that is when I felt different. It's like it was day and night difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I almost wonder if the one thing we all have in common with this process, because it is a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we get the Holy Ghost. I mean, yeah. I'm 9 years yeah. old. I read my Bible, yeah. bro. I can't even read. Yeah. And but I can almost tell just from knowing you two personally and knowing myself, though I wish I would have thought about it. But one of the biggest things I started doing at 19 was reading my Word for myself.
Yeah.
And reading that, how much bondage was taken off, how much deliverance, how much you grow, not just because you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but because you started reading the Word of God and it was speaking life into you, and why you were making room for this, other things had to leave and exit your life. And the more we grow from this, the more room that this fills our heart, that means other things has to leave. Because this can't be in here and all the other junk.
Amen.
But there's power in the Word.
Amen. And I'm not going to say that living for God is like, oh, it's all bed of roses. It's just like walking in the clouds, because we will go through trials. We will go through storms and persecutions. But my question here for us is that in your walk with God, I know your walk with God, were there struggles for you as a child of God, as a person that has stayed in the church? What struggle could you see that if somebody is going to ask you, Mike, I don't know what to do. I grew up in the church, but I feel like I'm wanting to do something else. How would you, from your experience, how would you encourage that person to stay with his walk for God?
The Word.
Amen.
I mean, I have a great buddy. God's gonna bring him back to church, but he could outpraise me, because he was faster. That's why. That's it. But he was the same way when he started. His mom and dad raised him in church, and later on they got divorced, and so he was out of church. And but he was smoking weed. He had a vision, a dream, and of heaven and hell, and God pretty much telling him, you got a moment, you got a door, come. And so he came to church, sat upstairs, and I really knew him just from, because he was a little kid, but I recognized him, that, you know, I'm like, wow, he's by himself, you know, his mom and dad's not here, it's just him. So I went up and talked to him, and every service I'd just go talk to him. And eventually I told him, hey, you need to come to the front row, because he'd be up there crying and during the sermons and songs and stuff. And so I got him to the front row, and he asked me, he's like, so how do you praise God? I'm like, just jump. That's how I started. Mm-hmm. But then he started running the aisles and doing all this stuff. But one day he came up to me and he was talking about that. Talking about going, you know, he's like, man, I'm struggling, you know, being girls, you know, and and all this stuff, and then drinking and stuff that, you know, he's like, I haven't done it, but I want to really bad. And I was like, well, you pray all the time, right? He's like, yeah, I pray all the time. And I he meant it. He really prayed all the time, because me and him were praying all the time together, because he started coming at night with me to pray. And then I was like, well, you run the aisles? And he's like, yeah, I run the aisles. Because he would, once he came out of the prayer room after done praying, he was running the aisles. It didn't matter if it was a slow song or a fast song. That was a commitment he made to God. And then I'm like, well, you dance in the front, don't you? You dance all the time. And he's like, yeah, I dance. I'm like, you speak in tongues? I'm like, yeah, you speak in tongues. And I'm working him, because I know exactly what my last thing is going to be. And I'm like, and you read the Word of God all the time. He said nothing.
Wow.
And I was like, your problem is you're not feeding your soul.
Amen.
That you could pray all the time. Ugh. You could dance all the time. But you're giving yourself. You're giving yourself. You're giving yourself to God. But you're not receiving what He's offered. And then I told him, I was like, man should not eat by bread alone.
Yes.
But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm like, you're not feed. There's a hunger in you. And you're starting to hunger for the things in the world that satisfy that hunger.
Amen.
And so I told him, I was like, I just want you for 1 month, just read 30 minutes every day. And and in 1 month to see if those same things that keep coming back, the same things wanting to tug you into the world. And in 1 month, he came back saying, bro, ask me those questions again, but start with the last one.
Yeah.
And he knew so much word, but what he was doing was he was just opening the Bible and reading, you know, Genesis to Revelation. But he was looking, all right, God, I'm wrestling with this. What do you say about this?
Wow.
And instead of him looking at it, it's God's laws and punishment. It's God saying, I love you. Here's what you need to do to get better. Here's what you need to do to fight this spirit. Wow. And so I would honestly, like, even for me, one of the first things to go is not prayer. It's not praise and worship. Mm. It's reading the Word of God. If I don't check myself and realize I haven't been faithful in the Word of God. And I think this can go for everybody, but for me, I can't eat 5 minutes of the Word of God every day anymore. Mm. I'm a big boy now.
Mm. Amen.
I'm fighting different spirits,
right.
Stronger spirits in the world than I was when I was a child, a young person, and even a young adult, and even newly married when I was, I don't know how old I was, 28. I have to eat more of the Word of God. I just can't go for a 5 minute devotion and feel I'm going to be satisfied and I'm going to be strong enough. But I have to make sure that when it comes to the Word of God, I have to not only read it, but I have to make sure that when I read this word, that it speaks to me. And I know that when I'm starting and not sinning, not going back in the world, not watching things, you know, but when I start to feel just carnal, just a little bit cold and a little bit callous and a little bit, I don't want to go to church tonight, I'm tired. I know there's something I'm missing. It's not God's fault. It's me. I'm missing something. And that's usually what my number one source is I'm missing is the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. And my brother, what were the things that you struggled? Yes, you struggled in the world, but right now, as a child of God, in your walk with God, what are the things that the world has kind of like put upon you that do you struggle with the things of the world still?
Well, I still struggle, but the way that I get through it is like what my brother said was with a good word.
Amen.
With a powerful prayer life and with good preaching.
Amen.
I believe in preaching. I believe that you got to watch who you have over you who preaching the word to you.
Yeah.
Because if you have a preacher that's there to comfort you and not to, you know, bring forth the salvation of God, you can find yourself still living in the world and thinking that it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for the men of God that we have that preaches on, you know, forgiveness and God forgiveness, but we gotta walk. We gotta walk the walk.
Amen.
One thing that I know as I struggle, most of my struggles come from my flesh.
Amen.
For myself.
Yes.
And I find the way that I really have like lust and just the ways of this world that I have literally have like drained it, have killed it, has been through fasting. When I fast, I find myself, as my brother say, feeding my spirit, feeding the word of God into myself.
Amen.
And you find yourself as if when you are trying to walk with God, and if you don't put that plate aside, if you're not willing to push that plate back, you need to realize that that's what's wrong with America, is that they're so used of eating.
Wow.
Amen.
They're eating, you know, and they're eating of their selves. They're not pushing the plate back.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that's in church and think and they know the truth.
Yeah.
They know the gospel.
Amen.
But they're so quick to call judgment, so quick to not realizing that God is meant for us to raise up people.
Amen.
Because when God delivered Israel, he said, you're going to be priest.
Yes.
Not just one, all of you going to be priests. I'm going to have a priest nation.
Yeah.
All of you going to be called.
Mm. Amen.
So in order to reach that, we got to deny the flesh. Mm-hmm. And half of that, I've been fasting a lot lately.
Amen.
Most of all, I've been fasting because I knew that I was going to have to come with some words. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my words to get entangled up with God's word.
Yeah.
So I make sure that I fast to push me out and Amen. To bring God in.
Amen.
Because I do not want to sit here, and if anybody's watching, I don't want to sit here and come with some words that I might think is slick and sound good, but it's nothing, no fuel, and no fire for your souls out there. Because what we're doing here, we're up here putting life into souls. We're Amen. Putting salvation on letting know Jesus is here.
Yeah.
Jesus is here with yeah. our testimonies. What we're trying to do is let you know that we are different people. You're going to get, if you don't think that you, one of us can reach you, yeah. one of us can reach you one way or another,
yeah.
one of us is going to reach you. If you've been to church and you're struggling, brother's going to reach you. If you've been out there on the streets in a gang, drug dealers, whatever, Brother Nate's going to reach you. If you feel like you're foreign and you want to know what does it take, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And what does it take to get my steps walking with God? Brother's going to reach you. We Amen. Should reach you, but we're going, because I believe that we have fasted.
Amen.
I believe we've pushed back the plate. I believe that yes. we have ate the spiritual food of
yeah.
God.
Yeah. yeah.
I believe that we're in the prayer room. Amen. You know? I know we're in the prayer room. We have that prayer.
So
you know
loud.
What I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? Well, we got that, you know what I'm saying? Because we yeah. had that prayer meet. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
When we did for 7 days, you know?
Yes.
And I believe that was started a fire. That Amen. Started a fire Amen. In all of us. You
Amen.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. Amen.
And I believe yeah. that, you know, there's more fire to come. But that's how my struggles is getting through with prayer. Reading the word and man, fasting.
That's crazy. That's amazing. Because yeah, that's what I when I preached a couple weeks ago. That's what I fasted a whole day because I was like, God, not my words.
Yeah.
And God told me it's not your voice tonight,
Amen.
And my voice is gone. But
yeah.
I was thinking about it, the word of God. You know, the more you read it, it's you know, it's God speaking.
Yeah.
And so people are like, how do I hear the voice of God? We do. We, all three
yeah.
will be
yeah.
like, God said this, and
yeah.
some people think, man, either. God talks a lot to those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Or yeah. they just, but, well, they just, but we've won. We got the power of recognition that we're
yeah.
recognizing. But
yeah.
I reminded when the disciples, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they're like, you know, John's disciples fasted and
right.
But you guys, your disciples
yeah.
don't
yeah.
fast.
Yeah. You're eating.
And the Pharisees, they fasted traditionally Monday and Thursday,
mm.
Twice a week, all the time. But they boasted in their fasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Jesus told him something. He said, they have the bridegroom with them now.
Yeah.
But one day when the bridegroom's not here, they're going to need to fast.
Yeah.
And how many times that, you know, if we're constantly, like you said, man, what you said, America, fast food.
Yeah.
Convenient. You know,
yeah,
now we got DoorDash. We
oh,
got all
yeah,
Uber delivers food.
Yeah.
And so we're feeding this flesh.
Yeah.
And what the world doesn't know that we live in two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the natural
yes.
and the supernatural. Everybody lives there.
Amen.
But most people, they turned off the supernatural, and they're living only in the natural now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so America, I mean, maybe we're going through a famine in a little while because
yeah.
God's
hey.
Like, you're going to start
hey.
Fasting one way
yeah.
and realize that you're there. But
yeah.
wow, that's true. Yeah. Fasting, that is
Amen.
Hey,
powerful.
I remember, as you just said that, there was you know, when God said that, He said, as the bridegroom is there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's certain times that, and God said that uh-huh. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so and sometimes we are always close to God, but sometimes it's called for a fast because sometimes we have broken away from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And there's a time that, like this nation, that we have, they're far away from God.
Amen.
And the only way, you gotta break yeah. yourself from eating the desires of Egypt, kind of a deal.
Yeah, yeah,
eating
what,
yeah, eating the flesh pots of
yeah.
Egypt, and say we need to go back to what we know.
Yeah,
we need to go back to eating God's food.
Yes,
we need to go back to eating what really brought us to who we are. What created us?
Amen.
What brought us to where we was? And that's
yeah.
this right here.
Amen.
Once we lose this, where are we going to really have
yeah.
power as a nation?
Amen, amen, and. Talking about fasting is really humbling
mm-hmm.
this self, because yeah, when we go to the ministry and God's been working through us, we can a guy get like, God is working through me. God is good. And yeah. I can do this. I can do that. But really, it's not us, but it's God. But sometimes we get that mentality and we get, if it's just me, then well,
no, it's praise all God. Of us.
Well, sometimes we get to that point like, well, I can do things. And really, fasting is humbling ourselves. Yes, we need God, and the Bible would tell us that if my people would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. Sometimes in our life, in our walk with God, we think that we do not need anything. But really, even if you are, you say, the most holiest guy in your church, we need something. And the only way that God can work through us is we humble ourselves and allow God to feel that emptiness, feel that weakness in our lives.
Amen.
I'm saying this one because one of my struggles was really getting out and saying, well, I'm a child of God. I know Pastor Forsythe introduced me to door knocking, but really standing up and saying confidently, I am a child of God. That is one of my struggles. Why? Because I grew up in the world that, the spirit of condemnation from the enemy comes. It doesn't come, it comes to every child of God. I know it for myself. It comes in the spirit of condemnation. Well, you were like this when you were in the world. And the people knew who I was. Godly, nobody knew who I was in here. But back where I grew up, I lived two lives. A life that is like a good boy in the home, but when I was out of the home, I was not. And so I struggled with that. Like, how do I live as a child of God? That's why when the time that God baptized me with fire, I didn't want to, I shaved. I didn't want to grow anything because that was how I see myself in the world. Mm-hmm. I used to wear like this, what do you call that? Muscle shirts. Yeah. And now it's like I don't even want to wear them. Why? Yeah. Because that reminds me of my life in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the best thing that happened was this COVID. During the time of COVID, God just opened my eyes. I was preparing for a Bible study, and I was saying, Lord, how can I reach the people? Like, I do want to reach these people. And he was saying, what else can I do? I'm gonna go door knocking. And okay, that's one. And then God was just doing like that to me. I mean, you can feel like, hey, stop talking and let me talk. Yeah. Let me talk to you. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And then he dropped a word, said media. And like, media? What media? And then I was saying, thank you, God, for saying it. Like, you know what I'm talking about, dummy. Yeah. Media. And it's like, okay. What are you talking about, Facebook? And I was saying, Lord, I haven't touched my Facebook for a long time, and our church doesn't like people who are using Facebook. Like, wow. And then suddenly God was correcting me over there. It's like, Lord, I don't want to portray myself as this guy. And then suddenly God was saying, what are you trying to talk about? Lord, I'm trying to protect my image. And then that's when God says, what image are you trying to protect? Your image? What is your image? And God just brought me through and saying, your image is me. Because I Amen. Made you in my likeness, yeah. in my image. Mm-hmm. And that is how I started to get bold. And it's like, I'm going to post this recordings to the media. I will not care if people will comment in it or not. I'm just going to do what I think God is speaking into me, and that's how I started putting all these things in me. I mean, if somebody watches nobody, well, it's God is going to bring the increase.
Yeah.
And so that is my struggle and how I overcome this is through what you guys said, prayer and fasting and reading the word, moving through in our discussion tonight, in our walk with God. What advice would you be able to tell to somebody who is struggling in their faith, or what encouraging words would you want to share to others if they would say, "Bro Mike, I see you in the church and man, I just see you perfect. I mean, I don't even see you any struggles. You were there praying, jumping, praying to other people. I just want to be like you. I want to have that same experience as you." Aside from reading the word, what else would you be able to share to our listeners out there?
I would say pursue.
Pursue.
That, I think of David is the role model I portray myself. that's who I want to be, is a king David. Okay, I want to be king. He's a praiser.
Amen.
Right? And I'm known, you know, like people call me praiser, but you know, well, we're all praisers. But when King David, we can look now and look at his life and see his flaws. Mm-hmm. We could see what he did wrong. We could see when he went to the Philistines and he joined them, and then because they thought, you know, he would betray them, he went crazy. Mm. Right? He faked it.
Amen.
But then he finally goes back and he becomes king. And we see all these good things he did, or all these things he did, good and bad. But when King David was king, the people at that time, they didn't see that. Mm. They only saw his exploits. They only sang songs of how good he was. But King David knew who he was.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's one thing that I've especially, maybe just getting wiser because I'm getting older, little wisdom, but I realize more and more how flawed I am.
Amen.
But I realize how much more God loves me. And so I don't praise God for the bad things happening, right? So when anything bad happens, I'm praising. I'm praising through it. I'm building altars of worship, not altars of pity parties. Mm. But when anything good happens, it doesn't matter what the world would see and say that, oh, well, you did this and this, therefore this happened.
Yeah.
I know what... why this happened, why God gave me that, this good thing that happened to me is only because of God.
Amen.
And so praising and worshiping, doing everything that you could do in church, living for God, you just realize that no matter how your day's been, no matter what struggles you're fighting, that you just remind yourself what God's done for you.
Amen.
If you're like, well, I don't know what God's done for me, but I challenge you, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you got one of the best things, or you got the best thing, because not only are your name's written in Lamb's Book of Life, but the promises are attached to you.
Amen.
Amen.
That, I mean, when we can look back and real and see that, wow, I got all this coming towards me, even if it's not right there in front of you now.
I could say that you got to stay in church.
Amen.
Because tests and trials is going to come to us all.
Amen.
But there's different tests and there's different trials, meaning that if you, let's say a person, there's you got one person that went to high school, passed tests, didn't go to no parties, stayed in school, got a job, had good friends, and they just stayed on the same page. They did what was asked of them.
Right.
Okay, and then you got another person that barely made it through school, skipped school, they barely made it through, they got on drugs, they're just iffy, but they end up getting their lives, turning their lives over to God.
Amen.
Different trials and tests, but all got through them.
Amen.
All of them got stronger through it in, except all of them had different testimonies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One was just a little wiser as they walk.
Yeah.
And the whole point as we walk and to stay away from struggles is to try to walk wiser.
Amen.
But if you don't walk wise, don't think that there's not hope.
Yeah.
You just got to be willing to, okay, I have a little, I fell down, I stumbled, whatever happened. Just know that there is a place that you can find hope. You can find salvation.
Amen.
You can find the key to get through that door that you've been fighting, that's been fighting against you.
Yeah.
But you got to realize, no matter what test and trial, everybody's got to go through a test and trial. That person that went to school, got to college, and having this perfect job, still have tests and trials.
Amen.
It's just different.
Amen.
Like me and brother, like we lived, he's that guy that went to school. I don't know if he went to college. You know what I'm saying? Me, I was a skipper. I was on drugs and everything else. But regardless, right now, because I saw that door.
Amen.
I went in.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But the thing is, we both go through tests and trials.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except the thing is, we did not allow them test and trial. You didn't allow that test and trial to break you away from God.
Amen.
And it kind of strengthened your relationship. It brought you closer to God. When I went through tests and trials, it kind of just, it strengthens my faith.
Amen.
He had to believe. I had to have the faith. But as I go through the tests and trials, it allowed me to have the faith to believe.
Amen.
That, okay, I'm, because I see people, the preachers and the anointed, the Bible scholars. Mm. I'm thinking to myself, man, I'll never be like those guys. Those guys got the special call, and they got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've allowed myself to walk through a door to where now I can't, it's hard to even think that who I am now.
Amen. Praise God.
Because it's the struggles that I used to have, I have no more.
Yeah.
Now my struggles is I'm fighting for the souls of other people.
Amen.
I'm fighting to win souls now. I'm reaching because the battles that I was fighting to save my soul back there, I was hoping my soul, you know what I'm saying? I was fighting Jesus every day. Jesus, deliver me, Lord. You know what I mean? But now I'm then walk through, God then opened doors and God is guiding me. I took a step, God could 18, you know what I'm saying? And now, it's just the fact of realizing that tests and trials are going to come.
Amen.
But where are you looking at? Where are you going?
Amen. Amen. And to add to the testimony of my brothers, my advice would be, from my experience, is that you need to surround yourselves with great men of God, with brothers and with pastors. God allowed me to find a mentor. A mentor who is not just able to speak the word of God to you, but a mentor who would say, hey, you're going the wrong direction. I need you to go this direction. And that is where your pastor comes in. Do not be afraid of your pastor. Do not be afraid to ask somebody to be a mentor. Look, I'm old.
You ain't
that old. Well, old compared to the other young guys. Brother Young came to our church 2017, around June, July 2017. Mm-hmm. And that was the time when I was so vulnerable. Mm. And I went to him. I don't know why, I don't know, but I think it was God leading me. I know I haven't been living for God full time, and I just need a mentor, and I want you to be my mentor. And from that time on, God has been moving through him, and he's just pouring out himself unto me. And that is what we need. In our walk with God, we do not stand by ourselves, for no man is an island. We need each other. We are part of the body. We are not one body standing alone by ourselves, but we are part of a bigger, bigger body of believers. And if we segregate ourselves, we are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. But if we are together, then the enemy would struggle to fight.
Amen.
A bigger body.
When two or more together.
Yes, sir.
The presence of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
And so we hope that our short sharing of our testimonies would encourage you to walk with God, and that you would be strengthened by our testimonies and by what God has allowed us to go through. And through that you would learn from it, and that you would bring it to you and you would apply it in your walk with God. And with that, before we end our podcast tonight, Brother Nate, would you want to lead in a prayer?
Sure. All right, let's bow our heads. Lord God, thank you for this word. I pray, God, by our testimonies, that it was able to touch hearts, to be able to touch some souls. I pray, God, that it go forth to have the power that you has meant for it to have as it has had in our lives. I pray for miracles. I pray for breakthroughs. And I pray for souls to be saved. And I pray, God, that they realize that we're just men who were saved by the grace of God. And that we are here to let them know that there is hope, that there is one that can save, and that is you, our Lord and Savior. That it's just not a make-believe religion, that it is a power of a true living God that can come into our lives, that's about to step into their lives if they don't believe, that's about to make a change in their lives forever. All glory be to God, who is victorious in all things and all ways. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And with that, we leave the blessings of God upon you. And always remember that this is that.
Praise God.
We hope that you were blessed by the sharing of the word. And we pray that God would continue to bless you and guide you as we journey together towards the calling wherewith we were all called. And we hope you enjoyed our table talk. And please don't forget to click on that like button, to share, to subscribe to This Is That on your favorite podcast. And also find us on YouTube at Call to Ministry. Just click on This Is That video link. Continue to be strong in the Lord, and may God give you the courage and strength to go out and be apostolic. And as we continue to move together in the apostolic, always remember that this is that. God bless you all.